Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador Laurie.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Feels like it's been a very busy week. I suppose coming off the back of Crown Jewel, lots of news coming out of that. And it seems bizarre.
Terrible news. I come bearing sad tidings.
I come bearing incredibly weird news.
Did you know Shane is the best in the world? He decided himself.
And then sort of off the back of that, I'm still struggling to realize it's Survivor Series next weekend.
Yeah, man.
I still can't fathom that it's Survivor Series next weekend.
It's weird because, I guess because we've obviously had that many pay-per-views in that short space of time before they did the, you know, when they were doing split-brand pay-per-views, there was this many. Mm-hmm. But because each show individually built up to their own pay-per-view, you went into them feeling like, oh, I actually care about Backlash or whatever it would be this month.
I have had 4 weeks worth of bills to get here.
Yeah, exactly. I have had a full, nice run of, you telling me what the story is, what's happening. But because there's been so many other things happening, it's like, we haven't discussed Survivor Series before Crown Jewel happened.
Exactly.
Apart from, after Evolution, they went, oh, we can do the women's match because they don't get to be involved in Crown Jewel, so that's fine. But until after Crown Jewel, we can't really talk about champion versus champion, this, that, and the other, all this kind of stuff. So,
and before that, you had Super Showdown, and SmackDown 1000, and I think Hell in a Cell was in there as well.
Exactly.
Just felt like there was all of these shows just all at the same time, and Survivor Series is the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
And then we've just got TLC, and then the year is over. Then it'll just be lots of wrap-up shows.
Yeah.
I'm a bit concerned about the NXT reviews when we get to that point, because a lot of those NXT shows around then are just recaps of what's happened in the year.
I would just, yeah.
Do we need to do those episodes? Will people expect us to do those episodes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we'll just do lists.
I mean, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
So we may as well. I want to thank Paul Robison for sending in an email to us. Good day, Luke, Ollie, and or Laurie, depending on which show this goes out on, because he wanted to send us an email to try and explain how to pronounce Spanish names. Because you and I had such difficulty with Humberto
Carrillo.
Yes, that's the fella. And he was...
saying Los Ingo Bananas for a long time.
he said, I'm actually shocked about El Fakeador not being able to speak Spanish. I thought your years of lucha in the back streets of Guadalajara would have helped with it. So he was very surprised you don't speak very good Spanish. But he has a very nice little list for us to always say Spanish names correctly. Well, yeah. So, for example, here we've got, C's and K's are always the same unless C is followed by H. G is always G, like grape. H is always silent unless it is with C or S or T. So it's for Humberto Carrillo is pronounced Humberto Carrillo or Carrillo.
Cool.
So there you go.
I'm going to call him Humberto Carrillo and stick with it.
Or Los Ingo's Bananas.
Yeah, Los Ingo Bananas.
So thank you very much for that email. And we also got an email here from James Dillon. James J. Dillon is one of our pledge hammers. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm in the middle of listening to your latest NXT review when you guys mentioned the French-looking area outside of Full Sail. I've seen it when attending NXT, and I believe it's used as a set. Full Sail is an art and media university. That's one of the reasons NXT films there. The university already has a soundstage, and the students can help out set up production and camera work. I imagine in a few years, WWE might be getting some of their writers or producers from Full Sail. So that's why it looks like a French street. Because it probably is meant to be used as a French street.
Fine. I also like the idea that they're getting the students to help set up with the cameras and stuff. WWE, rinsing them interns.
Rinse them interns.
You've got to rinse them. You've got to rinse them and shuck them away.
I like this email we got as well. This is from Rosie. Hey, lads, I'd like to pose a scenario for you guys. I'm going to do this with Ollie Davis on the Saturday show as well. The scenario is as follows. You've been kidnapped and the wrestlers from the last match you watched have to work together to rescue you. Who's coming to save you and how do you fare? She adds here that keep in mind this is all in kayfabe. If the wrestlers hate each other in storyline, then they may not be able to get along. If they have any supernatural powers like Kane's control over fire, then maybe they'll be able to use them. If one of the wrestlers is evil and being saved from them might be worse than staying kidnapped. If one of the wrestlers is a heroic type, just assume they're doing it for something other than your own well-being. So, what was the last match you watched?
Well, the last match I watched, funnily enough, was from NXT. It was The Velveteen Dream versus Lars Sullivan.
So you are kidnapped and they are coming to rescue you. Yeah. How does that go?
Well, so Velveteen Dream is coming to rescue me because he wants me to say his name.
Yes, obviously.
He's not doing it for any altruistic purpose. He's just doing it for that reason. He has employed Lars Sullivan
in
an attempt to juggernaut his way into the prison in which I am being held. However, Lars Sullivan is still quite cross about the NXT title debacle and wants to be the main man mountain thing on NXT. So he is being particularly difficult to work with, I assume. However, Velveteen Dream manages to, I guess, charm the guards into giving him the keys. But just as that happens, Tommaso Ciampa appears and causes all sorts of havoc.
Bloody Tommaso Ciampa.
And while they're sorting that out, I die of starvation.
Bloody Tommaso Ciampa. It ruins everything. But thank you for all your correspondence. We'll have some more in the outro of this show. So, actually, for the record, the last two people I saw have a match was Becky and Charlotte. Mm. So I'd imagine Becky will just not be interested in saving me whatsoever because Charlotte will do everything she can because she's the valiant babyface. But Becky's just going to be walking around. She doesn't care. Like, why does saving me help her?
Yeah. I think Charlotte would get herself kidnapped. And she would be in a separate cell and she would have emptied out the toilet bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And she would hope that you would do the same. And then she would be going, woo, in code down the toilet so that you could hear it. And then you would know what day the prison break was happening.
Okay. Yeah, well, thank God, because Becky ain't helping me, that's for sure. But thank you so much for your correspondence. Here is the NXT show where we're talking, first off, about Johnny Gargano's promo. Here's the show. Where some people, particularly on our Discord channel, there are some people over there, there are some people I've seen online, who thought that Johnny Gargano's promo, which he recorded on his cell phone about Aleister Black, was the best promo in NXT this year. Personally, I don't think so.
No, he's very popular though, isn't he?
It turns out
he's very popular.
But what I would say is that it was a very cool promo. It was a very cool, like, it was very well put together. So it was kind of set up earlier in the night where Candice LeRae was walking outside the building earlier in the day. And she addressed that Nikki Cross was kind of meddling in their affairs and their personal lives. She didn't want her personal life interfering with her professional life. And, you know,
shouldn't have married Johnny Gargano then.
Well, absolutely, yes.
He's all about that.
Yeah, and they're now doing this with Renee Young and Dean Ambrose by the looks of things on Raw, so we'll see how that goes. But she challenged Nikki Cross to a match, which she's going to ask Regal for a match with Nikki Cross. And then it was announced that Johnny Gargano had literally just sent in a video of him explaining his actions, so to speak, I guess. And then we got that later in the night, and it was a cell phone recorded promo. It's one of the cool things about NXT. It looks like the wrestlers themselves are kind of providing stuff for the show. Mm-hmm. Like they've approached the production team and said, I want to put this in, or sent something to William Regal and said, I want this to be on the show. And then William Regal, being the general manager, is like, yes, I think I will put this on the show, actually.
Do you know what? Absolutely. I don't understand how phones work, though. So if you could show me, that'd be really good. And also, if you could set my VCR, that'd be great. I'm trying to record Heartbeat.
He doesn't know it's been cancelled.
I just really want to watch Brookside.
And anyway, so Johnny Gargano is on the path that he attacked Aleister Black on that night, that fateful night when Aleister Black was run over and or attacked. And he kind of does it. He explains the reason why he attacked Aleister Black. And that reason was... You're right there.
Yeah, sorry. You have to believe that. So.
I will. He says the reason was is because he felt that he was the only person who could defeat Ciampa for the NXT Championship, and he wanted it to be him. Mm-hmm. And it was originally supposed to be a triple threat, and so he took out Aleister Black to make it a singles match. And he says that, like, people are asking why I've changed, and I haven't changed. I'm the same Johnny Gargano I've always been. Mm. I fight for what is right, but sometimes you have to fight a little dirty.
I love this. I thought this was really good. I love the idea that he still thinks he's the hero.
Yes, like, yes.
You know, it's that same, like, delusional. Like, Dolph Ziggler's doing a little bit of, like, delusional stuff on Raw as well, but this is next level delusion of, like, you know, I think it's better than just going, I'm the best. It's better just be like, no, I'm the hero. Like, yeah. I'm the one, like, to suddenly, and it's been so well built up. Like, Ciampa's been teasing it for weeks as well on Twitter and in some of his promos, saying that obviously, like, Johnny was the one who was getting all the cheers, even though I was carrying the team and Johnny was the one taking the pinfalls.
Yeah.
But everyone loved Johnny wrestling, and now Johnny believes his own hype.
Yeah. He's there going, like, guys, no, I'm right. Yeah. Like, I've done this for you. Absolutely, you're supposed to cheer me now. Mm. And he does. He believes that. And he said that he used to be afraid of the dark. Obviously, Aleister Black likes to fade people to black. But he kind of likes the dark now. And then he ends the promo and he sits down in the exact same spot that Aleister Black was found lying on the floor. And he says, hey, Black. Like, hey, Aleister, does this look familiar to you? And he kind of, like, shoots the floor, like, with the phone, not with a gun. And that was it. And that's the end of the promo. And he puts the phone down. A very, very cool segment.
Yeah, he says, this is the spot where I left you laying.
Yes.
And come take over War Games, I will leave you laying again.
It was very cool. I thought it was a very well put together segment. But for me, like, it's not promo of the year. I don't think I would know what promo of the year is. I would probably give it to someone like Adam Cole. I'm sure
Ricochet.
He is. That Ricochet segment with the Velveteen Dream. Yeah.
Which is probably Dream's, more Dream's promo. Ricochet just did one cool thing.
He did the flip.
He did one
though.
Really, he did do a flip.
Yeah, he spoke with the flip. Mm. And that's
he said it all with his beautiful gymnastics.
Sometimes that's all you need to do is say everything in flips. Mm.
He's taken sign language to the next level.
Flip language. So, I thought it was a very cool segment, but I wouldn't say it was promo of the year. But what I liked about it was, as you say, kind of like this new direction for the character of Johnny Gargano, which is that, no, like, I'm right. What I've done is, like, the best thing ever.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that to watch him fall in a way that's not just like, you know, Ciampa's heel turn was a very swervy, suddenly he's bad, magically he's bad. But and then actually it's taken this long for him to justify kind of why he did it. And it turns out that he's also possibly right in this situation, actually, now. Because, like, Ciampa's whole thing was saying, you know, like, Johnny was a bit of a knob. Like, you know, he was, like, really into being the crowd favourite. And actually, like, he was the one letting us down and playing too much to them and doing all this stuff. And then it turns out Johnny does believe his hype. So maybe Ciampa's right?
I would disagree slightly. I think that Ciampa, when he did turn heel, it was very much like a long time coming.
Yes,
it was very
much
like a predetermined thing of, like, going back to the first round of the Cruiserweight Classic, when, like, it looked like he was going to turn his back on Gargano there. So I think they did a nice sort of slow burn for that. Mm. But yeah, then obviously he was out for a year, which sort of then delayed the reasoning for why he did it.
Yes.
But it works so nicely as a character piece for, like, because Ciampa, technically, Ciampa was right anyway.
Mm.
Johnny was the one that was taking the pinfalls. I think there was one match where Ciampa took a pinfall, but most of the time it was Johnny Wrestling losing the matches for DIY. So Ciampa was the best kind of heels, the ones who were justified in their actions, so to speak.
Mm.
So it is now kind of interesting that, Johnny Because Johnny, what Johnny Wrestling is doing here isn't right. Like, him taking out Aleister Black so he could have a one-on-one match was not the right thing to do. Categorically, was not the right thing to do.
No.
But to Johnny Wrestling, to Johnny Gargano, it was the right thing. Mm. And I love that, actually. I think that's a really interesting turn for him.
Yeah, I'm pleased that this is happening. And I hope, like, actually, it's nice to have it affect it in a way that doesn't just mean we just get another Gargano and Ciampa match.
Yes.
Like, we actually get to have, like, singles matches here, and it was obviously the perfect cover for Black's injury anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, now we get to see Gargano versus Black, and that's great. And I would love to see Johnny go on and do more of that sort of, like, I guess his own version of vigilanteism, like going around NXT.
Well, he is wearing like Venom on his hoodie now, so yeah.
Sorting out problems, that kind of thing.
Being a cool anti-hero. Mm. It is interesting, actually, you mentioned that, because the Aleister Black was legit injured. That's why he was taken out of that match.
Mm.
Whether this was the plan all along, was to kind of turn Gargano heel, or whether that has come as sort of like off the back of Black being injured and being taken out of that match. Mm. I mean, with the way that NXT is booked and is very much a long-term thing, I can almost see that it was always the plan.
I think it was. I think we've seen enough of Johnny falling victim of his own hubris in the previous matches that Ciampa and he had before Black was ever introduced into the mix and before Ciampa even had the belt. Like, Johnny lost those matches because he went too far. And he let his sort of dark side out because he thought he was justified in doing that and trying to hurt Ciampa. So I guess, like, it kind of always was the thing that Johnny would fall as a victim of his own sort of, like, lust for vengeance or whatever. And, you know, the more heelish he got, the more he lost.
Yeah.
But the more evil, I guess, he wanted to be in response to that, it seems like.
I could definitely see that perhaps the original plan was that Ciampa was going to win at... I can't remember which show it was now. Was it Brooklyn 4, where there was mostly the triple threat? I think it was Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Let's say it was Brooklyn. It might not have been. But let's say it was Brooklyn. I think it was Brooklyn because I wasn't here for it.
Mm.
So say it was like it was going to be this triple threat and Ciampa was always going to win that. I could almost see Johnny then blaming Black for the loss. I mean, like, well, if it was a one-on-one match,
yes,
I would have won that, and that would have been what fueled his heel turn. Mm. But actually, now we've got this quite nice thing of him. We had a cool mystery instead, where Scooby-Doo got to come in, and Scooby-Doo being Nikki Cross, obviously, to come in and solve the mystery for us.
I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for this crazy bint.
Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording, along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, you know, on command, it just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie El Fakador and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and RAs.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's times I know. There's a lot of times I know.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat. No, no, no. This will be a wrestler-long screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a pew! He's got a pew!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestler-long screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
Gave up Wall Street for. Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Now, to peel back the curtain ever so slightly here on the inner workings of WrestleTalk, we've been asked a lot, like, pretty much since I joined this organization, to be like, hey, why aren't you guys doing weekly NXT reviews? Do weekly NXT reviews. And we always sort of held off on it. The audience for NXT is quite small in comparison to Raw and SmackDown, things like that. There's YouTube algorithm stuff that would affect things. So that's why we kind of had to set it as this Patreon target. And one of the other reasons I had a sort of like as a hesitation to do NXT reviews was that oftentimes there are just NXT episodes that happen and there's not a lot to talk about.
Mm.
And thankfully, since we've started doing that for the last few weeks, there has been things to talk about. And I started to think, maybe I've just been wrong. Maybe there is always something to talk about with NXT. And then this show happened where I was like, oh no, sometimes there are just weeks where nothing happens.
Yeah. Good wrestling happened.
Yeah, so
there wasn't a lot of forward momentum.
Absolutely, perfectly fine wrestling was on this show, but and the hour flew by, I guess. But as you said, creating momentum to lead into a pay-per-view, not so much.
The hour flew by as if it almost wasn't there.
Exactly. Like, if I didn't see this episode, I think I would have gone into War Games with the exact same feelings I had about the matches. Obviously, a match did get announced, and the end segment was quite cool. But anyway, so let's dive into it. We kicked off with a tag team match featuring Heavy Machinery and the Forgotten Sons, being made up of Wesley Blake and Steve Cutler. As a bit of a mistake I made that I'd like to correct
from
the very first NXT Ramble review we did, I said that Jackson Ryker, I think that's his name, I said that it was Bram in NTNA.
It was Gunner, mate,
wasn't it? Obviously, I was thinking of the wrong James Storm partner.
Blooming Gunner.
Bloody Gunner, wasn't it? So that was my mistake. Really, this match for me was all about how awesome Otis Dozovich is.
Yeah.
He's so good.
But he is really good, but also, I don't feel like we need to know that again. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's literally just had a match against Ciampa. And I felt like they were trying to make the Forgotten Sons a thing for the last, like, couple of months.
Mm.
And now, no?
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, why? Like, one, if that's the case, if it's like, if the idea is that Blake and Cutler are naff if Riker's not in the ring, just put Riker in the ring. Like, and I think also Heavy Machinery wouldn't have been that damaged by a loss here through shenanigans or whatever you want to do. Like,
there is a third man on the outside.
Yeah, there are plenty of ways to tip this
in the favour of the Forgotten Sons and have them pick up the pinfall to then gain momentum. Because then when we get to the end of this year, and either after one of the big pay-per-views like maybe Survivor Series or WrestleMania, they're going to lose a bunch of tag teams and they're going to need some heel ones. It's because, you know, who knows where the Undisputed Era are going to end up. So they're going to need some heel tag teams. This was a perfect opportunity to make one that isn't the Mighty, who have also been like in and out and injured and not really doing much with, and wear leather jackets as if that's cool. Like,
they're heels now.
Yeah, ooh, really long dusters. Ooh, the Matrix. Yeah. This just feels like, why would you do that?
It was weird because they were putting over in this match as like, wow, Heavy Machinery, they really need to rebuild themselves and establish their dominance within the tag team division again. And then when I saw they were facing the Forgotten Sons, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's a team you're pushing, though. So, surely you've got to be giving the win to the Forgotten Sons here and, like, kind of get some momentum for them. And so I was really surprised when, A, this match went 12 minutes. Good Lord, did not need to go 12 minutes. There were so many, like, false finishes. I was like, this match is still going, I guess. It's still going. And then the Forgotten Sons lost. Like, Heavy Machinery pick up the win. Otis Dozovich hits a pop-up front slam, which did look wicked. And
it's really good.
I'm a big, big fan of Heavy Machinery, particularly... I mean, I say fan of Heavy Machinery. I'm a fan of Otis Dozovich. I think that he is dragging the best out of Tucker Knight. But I think Otis is so charismatic. He's as wide as he is tall.
He's Mr. Strong.
He really is Mr. Strong. A big square man with these legs.
Yeah.
And it's so...
You got killed by geometry.
He is someone who will get over on the main roster in the first couple of weeks because he'll just do the worm and that will get over.
Yes, yeah.
And then he'll become No Way Jose and just not make TV ever again. Like, that's kind of how I feel about Otis, which is a shame because I think there's so much mileage you can get out of him. Like, Heavy Machinery could be your version of, I mean, it seems like an obvious comparison given the worm, but of Too Cool.
Yes.
A really fun opening act you can put onto a pay-per-view just to get the crowd warmed up and things like that. I don't see them being like future top tag team stars.
No.
But there are certainly stuff you can get out of them.
But they're going to be top in NXT soon, mate, because they've beaten the Forgotten Sons now.
I kind of guess. But I mean, suppose they've got War Raiders, you know, who have also got beards and are big.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, War Raiders are faces, right? So, like, we're going to need someone who isn't Undisputed Era to challenge again. And, you know, maybe we'll get Street Profits. Hopefully,
who are also baby faces,
but like, you need some heels. We can't just do War Raiders Undisputed Era until the end of time, because Undisputed Era have been in the last four feuds for the tag titles, even when they weren't in it, even when they didn't have the belt. So it's like, okay, well, who is going to be? It's not going to be the Mighty. I tell you, it is not going to be the Mighty.
They feel bad for the Mighty.
I feel bad for them, but Yeah. TM61 was not a good name.
No, it was not.
And then they were unlucky with injuries, and then they came back, and again, it was the same thing with the Forgotten Sons. Like, someone returned in a new, like, in new packaging, or just a big return for TM61, and they were saying the whole time, like, these guys, they've got a lot to prove, they come back, blah, 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 and immediately they started taking losses.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, well, fine. And then they turn, and then it's 6 months even after that before they turn heel and start to get some momentum. And then again, now they're just losing to the Street Profits again.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, and I think a loss like this does kind of derail the Forgotten Sons, because like I haven't watched all of NXT this year. Like, I actually missed the debut of the Forgotten Sons, but I did see like the Jackson Ryker stuff that they did. So it kind of seems weird that so early on to this, they just lost this 12-minute match. And really, this 12-minute match wasn't for anything. Like, I don't think Heavy Machinery have come out better because of it. And Forgotten Sons certainly didn't come out better for it either.
Ryker didn't even try. It's like, he didn't even try and get involved. He was literally there to catch someone being pushed off the top. And that was his only role in this match.
Pretty much. I mean, I'll be honest, I genuinely forgot he was part of this until we got to the end. Yeah,
Which is a shame, because he was so intense in the beginning. I like his entrance, which is just stare down the lens of the camera.
As scary as he can. Yeah. I think Heavy Machinery are fun, but this match went far too long. We got a recap of the angle last week with Aleister Black and Candice LeRae, and that's when we got the Candice LeRae earlier in the day interview, and we found out that Johnny Gargano has sent in a video. We then got a backstage segment with the NXT Women's Champion Shayna Baszler, and she's there with Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke. Oh, she's so good. Like, I was for Ramble Club, spoilers for Ramble Club, I was re-watching the Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair the Evolution match, the last Women Standing match. And the match that was before that was Baszler Sane.
Mm.
And just hearing Shayna Baszler's music just made me go like, God, she's the best.
Yeah,
God, she's so good. And yeah. She's there with Shafir and Duke. And I'm like, she's absolute money. Mm. Like, she's absolutely brilliant. She's there with Kathy Kelly. And Baszler's there going like, how many times do I have to beat Kairi Sane? Like, yeah. I've proven my point. Like, why do I need to talk about her ever again? But unfortunately, Regal walks in and announces that Kairi Sane has invoked her rematch clause, which is going to go down at War Games in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
It's cool, but also, how many rematches are we going to have? How many matches of this are we going to have?
Well, this will be their fourth. Their fourth match.
And
this
I just don't feel like this is the same level blood feud, title feud that you know. I think Ciampa and Gargano can have 5 matches in a row, because also they left it all on the, you know, they left it all out there, like they just did everything that you could possibly do.
Yeah.
But I think that's done now, and I felt like Shayna winning the title back from Sane was probably the line under this that we needed. We've had them in Mae Young, they've had matches where Shayna
beat her on NXT.
They've had a
the title match,
yeah, Sane winning the belt, and then they've had a rematch where she wins the belt back. So
what's
going on here?
Well, I agree with you, but I think this is more a victim of circumstance. The TV tapings fell in between Evolution, so like they could have just announced a different opponent, but then there would have been the question of why didn't Sane invoke her rematch clause? Because that's the awful thing.
Well,
about
this is the problem with rematch clause.
So I think this match almost feels like a victim of circumstance, which is a shame really for your NXT Women's Championship. But we will at least get to see the trio of Shafir and Duke out there as well. So
yeah, that's cool.
Which is cool, and it's a 2 out of 3 falls match, which I'm sure will be very good. Next up, we got a women's division match between my girl Dakota Kai against Tainara Conti, who you may recognize if you don't watch NXT on the reg, was in the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal earlier this year. She is Brazilian and a judo expert.
A judoka,
which Nigel McGuinness took so much pleasure in constantly saying. Yeah. He was just like, I know this word. I'm going to say it.
Judoka. It's the game where you make words out of nine squares.
I thought this was a good match. Really, it was all about Dakota Kai's kicks for me.
Yes.
She was showing off her team kick skills. I love the scorpion kick. She did some good, like, you know, running kicks and whatnot, and then hit her backstabber for the win, which is called the chiropractor.
Oh.
The chiropractor. Because she does this sort of, like,
terrible
spinning... I think the move is cool. It's super cool. It's heavily contrived, everyone's favourite word. But it is like, it's a really fun looking move. Ollie hates it.
Yeah. You can't pull it out of nowhere, is the thing.
Absolutely.
So it's not you have to like be in the exact situation in which you can do a roly-poly and then be like, and your back is hurt.
Exactly, yeah. It is like she essentially looked at the Canadian Destroyer and was like, how can I make this look even more
fake? It would be a really good move to just have in the middle of a match, but being the it's so difficult to be like, let's set up for the finish. If you could stand up, please, and then roll over at the right time, that'd be great. Like, lift me up onto your shoulders, and then I'll roll through.
Yes,
and then we'll do a backstabber.
Yeah,
how do you feel about that?
But I thought it was a fine little match.
Yeah, she had some good stuff. I didn't think there was much more to write home about.
Absolutely not. Her selling was very good, though.
Mm.
Mia Yim was backstage with the Angel Kathy Kelly, and she just talks about like how great it is to be in NXT. I'm so lucky to be here. Ugh. This is the best. You guys are the best. And Bianca.
Cheers to you.
Cheers to you. And Bianca Belair walks in, and she wants to know why Kathy is interviewing Mia Yim when she should be talking to Bianca Belair. And she does her undefeated Ted gimmick slowly, while purposely chewing as loudly as she can into the microphone.
It was so good.
I loved this. Da. B. Ted.
It's giving me tingles, Luke. It's that weird ASMR what you're doing.
It was so good. Although, I'm very surprised that Mia Yim was a babyface. Here, to be honest, because she was more or less playing a heel in the Mae Young Classic, being the Blasian baddie.
Mm.
So it's kind of weird to see her then just come in here as a babyface. And her catchphrase, that she is the head baddie in charge, is super lame.
It's the most overworked nickname, though, because if you are the head of something, you are in charge. So yes. That's like saying... It's like saying stripy tiger. Tigers are stripy. The definition of tiger is stripy big cat.
Yes.
Like, so if you say stripy tiger, it's the same thing. Head baddie in charge. Yes, I know.
It is how I feel like...
I am the head accountant, but I'm also in charge. We knew you were in charge, Steve.
It'd be like... It's how I imagine my six-year-old self would have described Dr. Claw in Inspector Gadget. Like, Mad is the organisation, and he's the head baddie in charge of it.
I'm the head baddie in charge.
I like Mia Yim.
I'm the goodest hero of all.
I like Mia Yim and everything, but head baddie in charge is wonderfully lame.
But then also, HBIC, when she's like, well, you're the EST, but I'm the HBIC. It's like, okay, cool. So you're running a bank now? What's happening?
Yeah. We then got that WWE.com clip that we saw last week after Matt Riddle's debut and his win. And he's walking backstage with our boy Keith Lee. Just being a bro. And he's confronted by Cassius Ohno, who likes to break new toys. It felt like they were almost setting up Keith Lee and Matt Riddle as a team.
Yeah,
because they were there. I mean, obviously, they're very good friends in real life. Ollie and I have been for drinks with them, name dropping there. And... so they are genuine friends in real life, but it really did feel like they had like catchphrases, like they were sharing each other's catchphrases as if they were being set up to become a tag team. Which, I mean, it's not the worst use of Keith Lee and Matt Riddle. There are much better uses of both men. Top guys, for example. But as a tag team, but then again, to your point earlier, that's another babyface team. Because like Lorcan and Butch are a babyface team. So like we're just like loading all these babyface teams in here. Which I suppose can go up against the Undisputed Era, but if they don't have the titles, or if they lose the titles, they get called up, then you're just left with loads of babyface challenges.
I think maybe it's not a tag team thing. Maybe it's more like they're just in each other. They'll just be in each other's corner, and then they can have a feud that just combines the two of them.
Yeah.
Rather than having to do, like, let's have a separate feud for both guys or a separate thing for them to do, and this can just be like a back burner thing for them to do for a little while we get to the point where all the guys at the top of the roster... go away.
Yes.
Like they go up to the main card and then we've actually got some space to do something with these two.
Yeah.
So for now we can just have Matt Riddle matches where Keith Lee comes out, Keith Lee matches where Matt Riddle comes out, and then they swap over facing the same opponent or whatever it's going
to
be. You know?
And realistically, you don't even have to do that. Like you don't have to have them as a tag team. You don't have to have them in each other's corners. You just need to set up backstage. These two are friends.
Yes, absolutely.
Because this is an interconnected world. It's the MCU of WWE. And people see each other backstage and they interact with each other backstage. They have relationships backstage that don't need to play into storylines. With that said, I wish Keith Lee was on TV more.
Well, yeah.
Because he is awesome.
That would be fine.
Then we got what I would say was probably the best thing on the show, which was an awesome video package for War Games. This is a video package that I would imagine will probably play on the pay-per-view just before the match happens. But I will happily watch it again. I may even watch it again once we finish this recording. This was so good in hyping up like the danger of the War Games match, the awesomeness of the Undisputed Era, how these four disparate guys, or at least, you know, three disparate Pete Dunne, Ricochet, and the War Raiders have come together to fight against the Undisputed Era. I just thought this was absolutely brilliant. I thought this was really awesome.
Yeah, I really. My only note is that it's an amazing promo with terrible music. It's really bad. I didn't notice for a long time how bad the music was until there was a bit towards the end, and I was like, oh no, that's really bad music.
Like, yeah, NXT has some like. Sometimes they have some really great tracks. Like they had Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes. I mean, that was a long while ago now, but like that was a really cool choice. Sometimes they have some absolute honkers in there. Yeah. Like there's a Bring Me the Horizon.
Could I have one horizon?
And they have got the most generic song for War Games. Like main roster music for pay-per-views is objectively terrible. Like, it is all... Unless it's Little Mix, it's always very, very bad. It is terrible. But sometimes NXT just pick the most generic songs. Like, you forget about it the following week.
It needs to sound like... something, ooh, I don't know.
It needs to sound like... Every song from 10 years ago. Let's do that. Perfect.
They've found a search engine that just does the sound-alike search engine. It needs to sound like... You know the promo we had... 6 years ago? I want a song like that, but not that one. Yeah. So what's the most current song in the search database? Oh, here it is. It's Bring Me the Horizon this week.
Yeah, like, so we have a music library that we have access to when we do our weekend videos and stuff. And that is full of generic music that sounds like other things. That is what this sounds like.
It sounds like Audio Network back in the day, when you used to be able to search, like, literally, sounds like a whole new world, or whatever it was that you were editing, and you'd be like, okay, yeah, sounds like that. And it's like, oh, there we go, an exact replica of that song, one note changed.
Well, exactly, like, so we're doing something on the Undisputed Era. So I went into the search engine, and I was like, find me a song that sounds like Rage Against the Machine. And I just found it. I was like, this sounds just like Rage, that'll do.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Ba-da-da-dum-da-dum.
My favourite thing about this promo, though, that really did make me laugh, is that Pete Dunne, during this, says, "You, Undisputed Era, you always have the numbers advantage, but at War Games, it won't be about the numbers advantage." And I was like, no, Pete, that's exactly the point of War Games, is that at some point, there will be a numbers advantage. Yeah. Eventually, it will be 4-on-4, but for the majority of the match, it will literally be about the numbers advantage. Yeah,
and they are probably going to get it?
Yes, they probably are.
I think.
I would imagine so.
Be a bit naff if it wasn't.
Well, it was a tremendous video package either way. We are making jokes, but it was a tremendous video package. And it was announced that next week, Mia Yim is going to take on Bianca Belair. And William Regal is also backstage, and he announces that there is going to be a singles match next week, with the winner getting the advantage in War Games. He doesn't announce which of the which of the eight men are going to be in this match, but we'll find out.
Who would you
week.
Like to see?
Who would I like to see? I would like to see Kyle O'Reilly against Hansen. I would really like it to be one of the War Raiders in a singles match, because that's something you don't usually, that's something you don't often see. I'd also like to see Kyle O'Reilly in a singles match anyway, because he's awesome.
Mm.
Or Bubbles Fish would be great in there, because we haven't seen, like, Bubbles hasn't been part of a match since his return. Yeah. So that'd be also quite cool. So I'd imagine it would be Cole or Strong, but I'd like to see it changed up a little bit.
I'd love it to be Fish versus, like, Ricochet.
That'd be cool.
And maybe taking out his legs.
Mm. Yes, so we can.
A bit of chair shot in the setup for TakeOver.
Absolutely,
and be like,
yeah.
Ricochet's coming in damaged.
So we then got our main event of the evening, which was set up from a couple of weeks ago.
Do you think he's going to do the 6:30 off the top?
Yes. Yeah, I would imagine so. Like, they want to do their big,
if he
like,
does it off
highlight
the top,
reel spot.
Do you think if he does it off the top, he'll get even more flips in?
Is this like what we're talking about with Justin Sizem? Yeah. Like, if you put him in a bigger building, he could just do more flips.
Is he going to do a 1080?
1080
snowboarding? 1080
snowboarding.
Is he going to do that?
Oh, mate, imagine if he's doing that while on an N64.
Mm.
So we then got our main event of the evening, we set up a couple of weeks ago, which is the Velveteen Dream versus Lars Sullivan. I did see your notes on this earlier, which is just...
How dull.
Lars is big. How dull.
I was very tired this morning, and I was quite annoyed at having to watch Lars Sullivan.
Well, and I would say this got off to a very hot start because Velveteen Dream is so good. Like, he is amazing at this. And he's actually transitioned very well into a babyface role without changing a single thing about his character or the way that he presents himself in the ring. But as soon as this bell rings, he is on Lars Sullivan and trying to, like, chop down this big tree. And it did get off to a really, really hot start. But then it just fell into Lars Sullivan doing a Vulcan nerve pinch for what felt like forever.
Well, after he chucked him around a bit. And obviously, it still looks good when he's chucking around, because Dream is the highest jumping man I've ever seen.
He does. When he Jessica Biel's him across the ring, he can really get some height on
him. And there was also that amazing moment where he popped him up and then Dream, at full height, just does a drop kick to his face and then pops back down. And that was so
good.
He
has got a wonderful drop kick.
Yeah, that was really good.
Incredible standing drop kick.
I thought it was good. Like,
yeah, it was.
I enjoyed it. Like, there was lots of good bits, and there was lots of nice close falls with Dream doing some of his like bigger moves. Like, he managed to do the Dream Valley Driver.
Oh man,
on
so
Lars
impressive.
Sullivan, which was amazing.
That move is incredible. The way he rolls himself over is so awesome.
Yeah, and he did just a bunch of stuff there that looked really, really good. And then it just all became a bit shenanigan-y for me. And I just wonder why we can't have Dream just win some stuff.
Like, yeah, especially as you're going into a championship match. I mean, this is setting up for it to be a triple threat at TakeOver War Games, which could very well be the case because Lars Sullivan did pick up the win here. Dream was on a roll. He did get the Dream Valley Driver, which looked absolutely awesome, and he got up top to do the Purple Rainmaker. But then Tommaso Ciampa ran down from the back, and Dream got distracted and jumped onto Ciampa instead. And when he got back into the ring, Lars hit the freak accidents for the win. So Dream picked up a loss here on his way into a championship match. And then Lars essentially Thanos'd away. He just disappeared. He just walked up the ramp and celebrated.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And so I thought the match was... It started off really well. It ended quite well. But I thought the middle section with the Vulcan nerve pinches were not as good.
No, definitely not. And then we had a whole bit of stuff at the end.
Stuff at the end was very, very cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I like this. I thought it was a good way to end off this show, which, as we said, wasn't really much to write home about. But I thought this end segment was cool. So Ciampa gets back in the ring and he starts attacking Dream. And he's sort of shouting at him that he's not in his league. And then Dream just starts firing back and he hits a twisting DDT onto the title. And he goes up top to hit the Purple Rainmaker, but referees come down. They're like, no, Dream, don't you do it. No, 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 no. And they're like checking on Ciampa.
Bad Dream.
Bad Dream. And then Dream starts going up the ramp and then decides, F this. And he runs back down, gets up top, and he hits the Purple Rainmaker and he grabs the title. And when he grabbed the title, this NXT crowd was super into the Velveteen Dream being NXT champion. It was a really awesome, genuine babyface reaction. And he's there and he's sitting around the title. And actually, it felt like a really cool moment.
Yes.
It's the sort of moment I thought that someone could tape this and then pretend online that Dream won the title at the tapings.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
You could have leaked this online and said, like, oh, Velveteen Dream wins the title at the tapings.
Yeah.
And it looks so real, and the crowd are so into it that it does look like someone just changed, like he just won the NXT championship. Mm. I thought it was a very cool ending. I think Dream is good.
Yeah, I think you absolutely could have got that exact same ending without having to have him pick up a loss for Lars Sullivan, because has he had more than... How long has that been like that for?
It's literally just gone. I've watched it go.
Okay.
I don't know why. Oh, there it goes. It comes back.
No, it's come back. An error
occurred. Click restart from the beginning. Nah, don't worry about it. It's fine. Sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, no. So I just think you could have... Like, how many matches has Dream actually won? Two?
Well, I mean, yeah.
More than two?
He beat EC3 at Thingio. And then...
I think he won like one of his first matches when he first appeared.
He's probably had some wins on TV. I get your point. Velveteen Dream, we've always said that he's the guy that people beat at takeover shows as a way to move up the roster.
Yeah, he's definitely the kingmaker. Yeah.
Yeah, he is the kingmaker. So I'm really happy to see him in this position. I don't feel like it's the right time, personally.
That's what I mean. It's like, you know, we could have built to this being the right time for Dream. We could have built off the back of that EC3 victory into this run where he has this, you know, this insane set of wins, and then he ends up with a title shot. Instead, they just went, I don't see Velveteen Dream a title shot. And it was like, oh, okay. And then I thought this might be a moment like, you know, he could beat Lars Sullivan here. That's a really big deal. And then Ciampa attacks, beats him down, goes too far. Dream then gets up, fires up, and we get the exact same moment with him holding up the belt, and everyone's well into it. And that would be fine. Because the thing is with Ciampa, like, he doesn't have to do very much to be regarded as the worst man alive. Mm-hmm. So he only has to come out, really, in NXT. So it's not like we needed to do, like, he distracts Dream and Lars picks up the win and go through all that sort of normal gaining heel heat. He already has the heat. He maintains it in a core inside himself that is constantly furnished by a series of dwarves or something.
I think the problem really is that, and it's a WWE-wide thing, and it usually is in wrestling as well, is that you don't want giants to lose.
Absolutely not.
Like, if you have unstoppable monsters like Lars and his terrible trunks are, you don't want him to lose a lot.
Lars and his big boy pants.
His big, strong boy pants. You don't want him to lose a lot.
Mm.
And Braun Strowman's the exact same thing. You don't want to beat Braun all the time, because then he loses his credibility. Problem is, then you then have to sacrifice other people at the expense of not sacrificing your big strong boy.
But then why do we have Lars Sullivan in this match? Just get him out of this picture.
Well, I'm guessing
it's someone else.
Again, as I'm saying, if this sets up the triple threat, then I'm perfectly fine with it.
Yes. If it doesn't, then
it's not so great.
Also, why do WWE always name, like, so bad at naming big people, like Large Sullivan, Braun Strowman, Braun Strongman, The Big Show. Terrible.
The noun. I thought the show overall, I thought the show was fine. I thought there was perfectly fine wrestling on the show. I thought the War Games promo, the video package, was great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that Gargano's promo was very good. I thought the Shayna Baszler was the best thing. But I thought the ending of the show was quite cool as well. But it really didn't feel like a right home episode of NXT. It felt like we're just filling up time before we get to the go home show next week, and that's where we'll do some big stuff there. So
I think they've been on a massive hot streak recently, and I think this is obviously
you can't always
different.
Have that,
yeah, and obviously like they've been a bit hampered by where the tapings are comparative to various other pay per views. So they've struggled to be like, let's maintain sort of momentum with the tag division and all these other bits and bobs leading into War Games, and now we're just in a sort of like filler week where we just bubble away.
Yeah, we'll just have Heavy Machinery versus Forgotten Sons, and they win. Last positive point I will say about the show. Last positive point I will say about the show, though, is that Lars Sullivan has incredible entrance music. I absolutely love
it. Yeah, it's really good.
And I thoroughly enjoyed, there was a guy probably at three rows to the back who was air pianoing along with it.
Was he?
There was a little.
I saw a little granny at one point. I can't remember where she was. Oh, in the Lars Sullivan match. Yeah, she was just in the background of one of the shots, just watching along.
Like my nana at old World of Sports shows.
Yeah, my nana did that as well.
Email here from Tyson Styles. What an incredible name that is, with a WrestleTalk Get Better. Hi, Luke, Oki, and Laurie. I'm assuming he meant to say Ollie.
We've employed Oki Doke.
but it's written Oki. My name is Tyson. I'm 21, from Australia. I've been listening for as long as I can remember. After I stumbled upon a video one day, I'm now a $10 pledge hammer, which I'm very proud of, and bloody love you for it. After hearing Ollie and yours attempts at the gym and getting better, I decided to take it upon myself. As I suffer from anxiety and depression, I thought this might be a good way to help battle these. I'm currently 110 kilograms and stand at 5'9". I feel people judge me in public and how I look because of what I wear. My t-shirt doesn't sit quite flat on me. Sorry, I do apologize for my reading of this. I've been walking on and off. I stopped for a good month-ish, but today I realized I needed to start getting up again, so I walked 15 kilometers, which is 9.5 miles, which equated to 18,897 steps, part of which was an 8-hour shift at work. I'm going to continue doing this every day until I reach my goal of 95 kilograms. I listen to the podcast every time I go out for a walk, and if there's new ones, I go and re-listen to the Patreon reviews, currently on my third re-listen of Money in the Bank 2011. That was our first Wrestle Ramble Extra did, which means it probably isn't as good as more recent ones.
I think we need to start making longer content if he's going for 15 kilometre walks.
Well, I was going to say,
we're not covering half of
absolutely
that.
Absolutely, we're not. Like, I think our longest Wrestle Ramble Extra is 4.5 hours. Mm. So I've just listened to that one the most, I guess, because that really will fill up your time.
Listen to them on half speed.
I told my brother this quite recently, because my cousin was listening to our WrestleMania X7 review, and when she was flying out to Australia, funny enough. And my brother caught wind of this, and he was like, do you do 4-hour podcasts? I was like, well, not every week. Mm. I was like, I mean, really, in total, there is 4 hours worth of podcasts every week. Mm. But yeah, in one chunk, my brother is very much of the opinion that a podcast should only be 30 minutes long, and anything other than that is excessive. I was like,
podcasts does he listen to?
Ones that go 30 minutes. Yeah. Like, you know, all the ones from like This American Life and Reply All, that sort of thing, where they just do things in 30-minute chunks, which are wonderful. But I'm also a guy who listens to Talking Simpsons, and they manage to get almost 2 hours every week out of a Simpsons episode.
Yeah.
A 20-minute long Simpsons episode.
I listen to Critical Role, and that goes for like five hours.
Yeah, so I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to Tyler. I go and re-listen to the Patreon reviews. If you wish, I'll keep you updated every now and again. Keep up the consistent work. Much love from the land down under. Wish I could meet you three one day, but it's quite the journey to the UK. Anyways, have a great day. Tyson, thank you so much for your email. Sorry, I did a piss poor job of reading it out.
That's how you need to get better.
That really is my get better.
Get better at reading.
Let's have this here quickly from Marcel Jura. So, this will be before you came on to do podcasts with us. But Marcel Jura is one of our pledge hammers, but he did not like Rusev Hayes.
No. I've heard this.
Yes, he thought Rusev Hayes were bad, and he thought that everyone would agree with him.
He's done one now.
He has sent in a Rusev Hayes. Hi, Luke.
You hip
hypocrite.
He does say, "Hi, Luke and Ollie slash Laurie. Remember me? I was the one complaining on Twitter about too many Rusev haze and the one who intends to eat humble pie. Now I've got one for you as well. It was the second night of the WXW 16 Karat Gold Tournament of 2018, right after the epic triple threat between Bad Bones John Killinger, Volta, and a surprisingly returning Ilya Dragunov. Just for context, 16 Karat is nowadays like a weekend-long wrestling festival with other promotions as well. I had the pleasure of experiencing at least 14 hours of live action, and I didn't participate in all the events. I might make a pitch to Wally that we go to WXW 16 Karat next year. I think that'd be a right lark.
Yeah.
We'll go with Matthew.
It'll be good beer.
Yeah, and it will be good beer, absolutely. On Saturday, there was a WXW organised after-show party, and since the last show of the tournament was on Sunday and folks had to work on Mondays, the party was something of a closing party for the festival. They had karaoke and drinks.
My favourite.
I mean, obviously, that we got to go, because yeah. This is Laurie Blake all over. It's karaoke and drinks. They had karaoke and drinks, and the atmosphere was great. I went to the bar, and there was none other than Ilya Dragunov himself. He was grinning from cheek to cheek and just enjoying himself. I had to talk to him, so I went over and congratulated him on his epic title victory and his return to wrestling. He was calm, just nodded, and appreciated my comments. I asked for a quick picture, because pics or it didn't happen, and he agreed. After this, I let him at the bar, since he had his chest chopped bloody by Volta just an hour ago. Other wrestlers of this were at this party, who kept kayfabe alive by always glaring over to Ilya, Matt Riddle, who had ruby red eyes. Jern Simmons, who had just had his foot in a cast, which you could sign for €10, was talking to Matthew from Botchamania and Killer Kelly. For Matthew, I popped the most, since I never expected him to be here in Germany. We took a pic together as well. It was a great evening. I hope you'll be at WXW 16 Karat Gold 2019. I already have my ticket. Consider it a business trip and let me buy you some drinks. That's all for now. This email was long enough. Love you. Bye. This won't be my last Rusev. Hey, God, you hypocrite. But there he is.
Hypocrite.
That is Marcel there with Matthew from Botchamania. And there
both
he is.
Looking incredibly pleased.
Yeah, and there he is with Ilya Dragunov.
What did Ilya Dragunov sing?
That is the question. I feel like a
rah, lot... Rah, rah, Rasputin, Russia's greatest love machine. Or, that's it.
Yeah. Or he just goes, ba, ba-da-da-da, ba-ba-ba, ba-da-da-da, which I could totally buy into as well. I feel like a lot of other Rusev days, because that's two on the bounce now we've done with you on the NXT ones, that have been based around karaoke, because we had the Jericho Cruise one last week.
Yeah, yeah.
So specifically, I want...
Wrestlers love karaoke. What
I want
say?
Rusev Hay karaokes for the NXT reviews.
Yeah, that's it. What songs have you seen wrestlers singing?
There we
that's
go.
That's what I need to know.
There we go. We'll come up with a new...
What was it Soul Cal Val told us they were singing?
Oh, when we interviewed her for WOS.
Yeah. Was it Tiny Dancer? No.
No, it was Elton John's song. I feel like it was Tiny Dancer because we started to sing it a little bit on that interview.
Blue Jean Baby.
Yeah.
She's doing the, but she did the verses and you were like, I thought we were just going to do the.
I thought we were just going to go, yeah. Hold me closer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Tiny Dancer. Yeah.
Right, well, that is all we've got time for. Actually, maybe we'll end us off with a joke. So I like to end off with a joke on this.
Because the rest of it is thoroughly unfunny.
We had a great one from Joshua Grevy yesterday, which is, do people in Dubai watch the Flintstones? No, but the people in Abu Dhabi do. I like this. What's better than Ted dancing? Ted singing and dancing.
Oh.
What's the difference between an old Greyhound station, as in the coach service, and a lobster with breast implants?
I don't know.
One is a rusty bus station. The other is a busty crustacean. Keep up the awesomely great consistent work. That's from Josh Grebbets.
No.
Why can't a bike stand by itself? Because it's too tired. There's two tires on it.
Budum bum cha.
Thank you so much for listening, and thank you all for your amazing correspondence. We do want your karaoke-based Rusev Haze to come in, though. Thank you for listening. We will be back on Saturday with the magazine show, and there will be the return of Fantasy Booking Warfare this weekend with Ollie Davis and myself booking the Undisputed Era's main roster call-ups. That... we don't know if it might be Saturday or it might be Sunday. We haven't quite decided yet. But thank you for listening. We'll see you again soon. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.